sitting in my study early this morning trying to find the mind of the Lord in Hebrews 12. And I couldn't get my mind to do nothing on Hebrews 12. I had some things the Lord had shown me, but my mind was running 100 miles an hour. I don't know if it's might have been my flesh, but I was thinking about this work at the church, and I'm in my study trying to study, and I'm thinking about carpenter work. I'm just being honest. So I was no count right there where I was, so I got my boys and we came out here and done a little work today. And I had some things before I left the house. I had it settled what I feel like the Lord wanted me to do. I pray it's the Lord's will. Amen. I'm just admitting my failures right here on all this. Amen. But I've had this thought and these points in my Bible for some time now. And I don't know if the Lord gave them to me and I scribbled them down. I read something and I scribbled them down. Or maybe I even heard somebody preach it and I scribbled it down. But it's been in my Bible and I've been looking at it for several weeks now and kind of thinking, man, I have to preach that and I ought to preach that. And that's where I ended up this morning. Amen. So I pray that it's a blessing to you. There's some truths out of the Word of God. Amen. Exodus chapter number 32, look in verse number 19. You can stay seated. Exodus 32, verse number 19. Well, maybe the Lord knew what was going to happen afterward. Or maybe I should have stayed home. I wouldn't even have gotten the car wreck. Amen. So it is what it is. Here we are. Amen. Exodus 32, verse 19. The Bible said, "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp," this is Moses after he came down off the mountain where he had received the commandments of the Lord. Kind of goes with what we looked at in Hebrews 12 last week. But he said that he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them neath the mount. I mean, he took those commandments and slung them. Broke them. Somebody said one time that if you get mad, you're liable to break all kind of commandments. Now, you get angry, amen, you do some stupid stuff, amen. Somebody said on the other side, amen, he broke the commandments, he broke the law, which was judgment for what they were doing, so it showed mercy. Amen. But in verse 20, "And he took the calf which they had made, and burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strolled it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it." I'd say he's pretty upset here, amen. That calf that they had made as a god to worship, Moses burned it in the fire, throwed it in the water, and caused them to drink it. Moses said unto Aaron, "What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Let not thy anger, my Lord, wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief." You know, in a sense, Aaron was right on how wicked they had been. And surely he said, you know them. They've been driving Moses crazy for a while now, amen. But they never drove Moses crazy to worship another god. Amen. Bible said in verse 23, "For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us, as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we woke not what is become of him." Now, if they didn't know where Moses was, surely Aaron ought to have enough of God in him to say that we're not making other gods. I mean, it makes you wonder if the only reason that Aaron could serve the Lord is because of Moses. I mean, he got away from Moses right here, and sure enough, he falls on his face. Bible said in verse 24, "And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf." Do you know when you get into sin and you start trying to justify it or talk it off, how stupid we sound a lot of times? When you find somebody doing wrong and they start trying to tell you why they done it, what's going on, and they don't even realize how stupid they are when they're talking. I mean, we just threw the gold in there and here come a calf out of it. Bible said in verse 25, when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies. A lot of sin going on here that we won't deal with in this mixed multitude here tonight. But Bible said in verse 26, Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. Verse 28, and the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. What a slay. The day the law was given, the sin that was going on in the camp, 3,000 people were slain. Yeah, my mind goes to wondering, when the Spirit of God came in Acts chapter number 2 and the church was birthed, and Peter preached, was it 3,000 souls that were saved that day? The same number. But in this case, they're killed. Law brings forth death. I mean, a lot of types in there going on. Sin surely brings forth death, but thank God for grace and mercy and the New Testament, which brought forth salvation and life. For Moses had said, verse 29, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Ted Mack, would you pray for us, brother?
Lord Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Meet with us. Help us.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, you have, God. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank God for His mercy. Amen. Look in verse number 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Moses asked a question here today, or in this passage I'll ask tonight, who is on the Lord's side?
Amen.
Now everybody's on somebody's side. I don't know about you, but I always like being on the winning side.
Amen.
I don't like losing, and thank God God's a winner, amen.
Amen.
He said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. You know, whoever side you on, that'll be the people that you come unto. That'll be the people that you gather yourself with. But Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Look in Joshua chapter number 24. And I want to preach to you a little bit on that tonight. Who is on the Lord's side? Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua, kind of the same question is asked here. Joshua 24 verse number 15. Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Whose side are you on tonight? Amen. He said, well, I'm on their side and we're against them. We don't like what they do. You know, see, you better be on the Lord's side. You can be on somebody's side. You want to be on the Republican side, be on the Democrat side, be for sodomites, be for not sodomites, you know. Hey, be for this crowd that don't like this, what's going on in the church, or gather with this crowd what they don't like or what they're for, amen. Hey, we all ought to decide, hey, I'd rather be on the Lord's side, amen.
Amen.
That's whose side I want to be on. Moses said, I didn't ask you if you're on my side. I didn't ask you if you're on Aaron's side. I said, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Hey, the Lord's side is a place of safety, amen.
Amen.
Those that were on the other side got killed. 3,000 of them did anyhow, amen. It was safety on the Lord's side. Joshua 24, look in verse 15. Joshua said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve." It's all up to you. It's your choice. You know, when it comes to being on the Lord's side, God surely wants us to be on His side, and God will put things in our way to try to say, hey, this will be the best choice for you, but you ultimately got to make the choice. Amen. Whose side you want to be on, amen. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He said, choose whose side you're going to be on. And Joshua went a little further with it. He said, choose which one you're going to serve. You know, when you start choosing sides, it's the side you usually serve with, amen. Service comes with choices, amen. You're either going to serve the Lord in His ways, or you'll serve the devil in sin's ways, amen. Hey, choices comes with service, amen. Who's on the Lord's side? Yeah, you can tell what side you're on, who you're serving. If you're on the Lord's side, you're going to be serving the Lord, amen. Joshua said, you make the choice whom you'll serve. He said, I'll make it publicly. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
But the choice is up to you. You make your own choice. So as young people, you got to make your own choice. You know, to a certain extent, you'll live with your parents and, you know, make the choices they make and go where they go, do what they go to church where they go, read the Bible they read, you know. Hey, worship God the way they worship God and dress the way they dress and act the way they dress. Hey, but there's come a time you got to choose for yourself. Be good to make a choice while you're with them, amen. Hey, man, if you wait too long, you might make the wrong choice and end up serving the wrong God, amen. Got to make a choice. Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Look in 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. Right after 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 Kings chapter 18. Choices. Who's on the Lord's side? You say, I'm on God's side. Well, why ain't you serving Him? Why do you serve the gods on the other side of the flood? Why do you serve the gods of the world, that little G God that Joshua spoke about? If you're on the Lord's side, you ought to be serving the Lord.
Amen.
1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse number 21. Elijah up on the mountain with the prophets of Baal and their crowd that's gathered against him to find out whose God is God. Verse number 21, Elijah said this in 1 Kings 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? What you waiting on? How long halt you between two opinions? Just kind of like Moses said, hey, who's on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, you're with Him. If you're with the world, you're just on the world's side. It's only really two major sides. It's God and everything else. And Joshua said that, hey, whose side you on, that's who you're going to serve. And Elijah said, hey, how long halt you between two opinions? How long you going to debate over it? How long you going to wait and say, well, I ain't really sure who I'm going to serve. I got to sow my wild oats a little bit longer, and then I'm going to decide who I'm going to serve. Now, you already decided who you're going to serve. You're already serving the world, amen. Elijah said, hey, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, is He God?
Amen.
Is the Lord God?
Amen.
Elijah said, then follow Him. How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him, amen. If He's God, follow Him. He said, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You said, well, I ain't going to tell you, preacher. You already told me. You already told God, amen. It doesn't matter what you tell me anyhow. You tell me you want to serve the Lord, I'd be, you know, rejoiced with you and glad you want to do it. But if you serve the Lord or not, I don't really know sometimes.
Amen.
But God knows, amen.
Right.
How long halt you between two opinions? What are you waiting on? Well, I ain't really sure he's God. Yeah, I believe I'd try to find out.
Right.
How long halt you between two opinions? Look in Matthew chapter 6. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Well, Joshua said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Make a choice. Make a choice. Moses said, if you're on the Lord's side, come over here and with me. Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? Well, what if the Lord Jesus Christ said something about it? Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, verse number 24. Matthew 6, verse number 24. Who is on the Lord's side? That was a simple question by Moses. Joshua thought it was pretty simple himself. He thought, you know, hey, choose you whom you'll serve this day. Sooner or later, you got to make a choice. A day of choices. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. You ever made a choice? You know, when you got saved, you made a choice that day to be saved. You ever made a choice to follow the Lord? I'm not talking about lordship, salvation, get saved, and you follow him as Lord later on. But, you know, I believe sometimes in your life, you got to make some commitment and say, you know, I ain't going that way no more.
Amen.
I'm making a choice, man. I'm halting between opinions too long. I've been flip-flopping too long, you know. Some of you just flip-flop too much.
Amen.
One day you're all excited about the Lord, and the next day you're all excited about the devil.
Amen.
Make a choice who you're going to serve, amen. Get in there and get out, one or the other. Jesus said in the book of Revelation by John, by inspiration, he said, hey, whether you be cold or hot, make a choice. Jesus himself said in Matthew 6, look in verse 24. It's amazing. Moses said, all right, who's on the Lord's side? Come on. Joshua said, make a choice whom you'll serve. Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? You know what the Lord said? No man can serve two masters. Well, you can't go both ways. You know, we like to use the term a lot, we're straddling the fence. No man can serve two masters. Well, I got one foot in the church, one foot in the world. You know, we lose that expression a lot. You know, God said you can't serve two masters. You might have a foot in the church and a foot in the world, but a heart's already on one side or the other. And if you got a foot in the church and a foot in the world, your heart's in the world. Because if your heart was with the Lord, you'd have both feet in church. Using the word church is a sense of serving the Lord, of course. No man can serve two masters. The Bible said, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. God said it's impossible. You'll love one or hate the other. You'll despise one and hold to the other. Who is on the Lord's side? Well, number one, let me see if I can give them to you in a different order than I got them written here so I can, you don't turn as much. Number one, look in John chapter number 7. John chapter number 7. Who is on the Lord's side? I'll give you some things about the Lord's side. Well, number one, the Lord's side is a controversial side. It's controversial. Look, what do you mean, preacher? Look in John chapter number 7. Look in verse number 40. John 7, 40. What's the first word there?
Amen.
The Bible said... Oh, I said... Y'all said two different things. Somebody said but. Some of you said but. Some of you said many. John 7, 40 is what? Many. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said... Of a truth, this is the prophet. This is him. others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Have not the scriptures said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Because of him. The Lord's side is a controversial side. And some people say, well, I think Buddha's God just as much as Christ was God. Jesus was God. It's controversial in the world we're living in. But the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is God. But as far as the world's concerned, when you get on the Lord's side, it's going to be a controversial side. Some of the guys are going to think he's God. What are you going to do? I believe I'll just get on the Lord's side. Amen. No matter how much controversy it is whether he's God or not, whether the King James Bible is the Word of God or not, there's some controversies on me on God's side, but I'd rather be with God. Amen. He ain't never done me wrong. You know why some people won't make a choice on the side? Because they want no controversy in their lives. I'm not going out trying to stir up any controversy or make a mess or stir up a mess. That's devil in itself. You got some people when they go to street preaching. We street preach. We might do a little bit more than what we've been doing lately. Faith Base has been going. But hey, you don't want to go out there. Some people do it in a way to just try to stir up trouble. I've been locked up 10 times for street preaching. Well, that'd be great, you know, if you're just out there just trying to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and not act like an idiot and got locked up 10 times. Yeah. Some people just try to be controversial just so they might lock me up. I got persecuted for Christ. No, you went out and act like an idiot is what you did. Yeah. It's good. There's a way you handle things. I mean, you didn't go and try to stir up trouble. I'm just persecuted by everybody because the way I stand up for Christ. Well, maybe you're bringing a lot of it on the way you act yourself. Yeah. But it is a controversial side. Yeah. You ain't got to go find any controversy if you go stand for this King James Bible and stand for Jesus Christ. Controversy will find you. The Lord's side is a controversial side. Not only is it a controversial side, look in John 17. Talking about the Lord's side. Are you on the Lord's side? It's a controversial side. John 17. They said, no, Christ ain't coming out of Galilee. That can't be Christ. I mean, you think Jesus is God? I mean, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you. I mean, that's what the Mormons will tell you, you know. That's what the Muslims will tell you. I mean, that's what even some so-called Christians will tell you. So-called, because I don't know how you'd be saved if you don't believe Jesus Christ is God. You know? It's controversial, amen. What, did he have God's blood or Joseph's blood? Or Mary's blood? You had to be an idiot, number one, to think it was Joseph's blood because he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And you had to be an idiot to think it was Mary's blood because the Bible says in Acts 8:28 that it was God's blood. Controversial, you know. He's not virgin born. He's a man, and he's just another prophet. Amen. Yeah, it's a controversial side to be on the Lord's side, but I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. God to defend himself. Amen. Number two, John 17. The Lord's side is a position opposite some other side. That's pretty plain, ain't it? It's a position opposite of some other side. If you're on the Lord's side, something is going to be opposite of the Lord. Yeah. It's opposite, amen. Look at the Bible said, John 17, verse number 9. Jesus in his real Lord's Prayer here says, I pray for them. Who is he praying for? Well, look in verse number 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. Glorify thee, thou has, and as thou hast given him power over all flesh, so he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Look in verse 9. I pray for them. Jesus is speaking to the Father. He's speaking about them that have believed on him being sent from the Father, believing that he is God. And Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world.
Amen.
Well, that ain't the God of the world. That ain't the Jesus the world preaches. He said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. He said, I pray for them. But I pray. He says, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Hey, the Lord's side is a clear side opposite of something else. God said, I pray for them, but I don't pray for them. That's an opposite, amen. Hey, a child of God is not a sinner lost without God. There's a difference in being a son of God and a child of the devil, amen. It's opposite that side, amen. If you choose the Lord's side, you're going to be opposite of something else. How long halt you between two opinions? Well, I ain't got a side at all. Well, you better get one. The Lord's side is clearly opposite of some other side. What do you mean? Well, we don't even dress the same as the other side. It's complete opposite. Hey, I don't even talk the same as the other side. And when you got saved, your talk changed, amen. You had the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit of disobedience, and so forth and so on, Ephesians 2. There's a difference in that life than this life, amen. I don't talk the same way I used to talk. The age of 21, when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, He cleansed me of my sin and washed me and placed me into the body of Christ. The transaction that took place, I've never got over. It's opposite of the old life I used to have. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, but all things have become new. There's a change. There's an opposite, amen. I'm not the same old guy. We don't dress the same. We don't talk the same. We don't walk the same.
Amen.
So clearly, he said, I don't even pray for them.
Yeah.
It's a different side, man. It's a different world.
Yeah.
It's a different life.
Yeah.
Thank God when Jesus came in, things changed.
Amen.
Your life changed. Your desires changed.
Yeah.
It's a different desires on that side of the cross than this side.
Yeah.
Or should I say the different side of desires from that side of salvation from this side of salvation. There's a place in your life where the cross met, amen. That cross changed your life. I'm talking about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that cross changed your life. In type, you see the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. There he is. He's on the road called straight. That's a change, man. He ain't on Damascus Road no more. He's on a road called straight. God put you on a straight and narrow way. That broad way that led to destruction, man, that's the way I used to go, but I'm not on that side anymore. The Lord's side is an opposite side of anything else.
Amen.
Nothing's like God's side. Nothing. Your dress ain't the same. Your talk ain't the same. Your walk ain't the same. Hey, the book ain't the same. My book's not the same as their book. It ain't the same. Your desires are not the same. Your goals are not the same. I don't have the same goals I used to have. I don't have them. You remember when the goals you used to have before you got saved? Man, things changed. God changed you, man. You ain't fit for that other side no more. You ain't fit for that. You can't live that life no more. If you do, you're going to be miserable. You can't do it. You can't go back. What are you going to go back to? It's like they told Jesus in John 6, you had the words of life, where are we going to go? You got nowhere else to go, where are you going to go? You ain't going to fit in. If you're a child of God and you're on the Lord's side, you ain't going to fit in nowhere but on the Lord's side.
Amen.
It's like putting a puzzle together, trying to put that piece of the puzzle over here, and you know it goes over here in the left corner somewhere.
Yeah.
It don't fit. The colors ain't the same. The shape ain't the same. Amen. It ain't going to work. Okay, if you push it and smash it and make it, it ain't going to fit.
Right.
Your life ain't going to fit in the world anymore.
Yeah.
The Lord's side is an opposite of any other side. Your music ain't even the same. We can go on and on. It's a different side. The songwriter said, I'm in a new world. In a new world. It ain't the same, man. The world don't even look the same. It ain't the same. You can't go down to that job the same way you used to go down to that job. You can't go back to that schoolhouse the way you used to go to that schoolhouse. You can't go to that grocery store the same way you used to go to it. You can't go to that. You can't even go to that bar. You can't do it. How are you going to go to try to fit in? You can't pick up them habits anymore. The Lord's side is an opposite, is a position opposite of other sides. Amen. It's a controversial side. Well, I told you I'd give them to you in order, and I looked right over this one, Matthew 24. That should have been the first one. Man, I messed up big time. There's one Luke, too. I put John before Luke and Matthew. Anyhow, we'll try to give them to you anyhow. Matthew 24. Who's on the Lord's side? That's what Moses asked. Who's on the Lord's side? Joshua said, make a choice. Choose you this day whom you'll serve, right? Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? And the Lord said, hey, you can't serve two masters. He said, you just can't do it. It's impossible. Matthew 24, dealing with the tribulation period in context, they asked the Lord about the end of times, coming of the Son of Man, you know. We're looking at the Lord's side tonight. I don't care what dispensation you're in, you're going to be on the Lord's side or some other side. But number three, if you're taking notes, who's on the Lord's side? The Lord's side is a position that only a minority will take in any age. Whether it be before the law, whether it be during the law, whether it be during the days of Christ walking on earth, whether it be the days of God gave the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to Paul in the church age, whether it be the tribulation period, whether it be the millennial. Hey, listen, the Lord's side is a position that only a minority take in any age or any dispensation. It's only minority. If you're trying to go for the majority and go with the flow, go with the crowd, you're never going to be on the Lord's side. I don't care what dispensation you look in, God's people are always a minority. But thank God we make up the majority with God. God makes us be the winner. Amen. We might be a minority in the world's eyes and we're a minority in number, but hey, we're not a minority with God. Amen. But this position of the Lord's side is only a majority of people will take in any age. It's only a few people that will go that way. Most of the world's going to go that way. They're going to go downstream, and they're going to go where the world takes them and where it pushes them and where the curves bend. They get hung up in a bend in a tree. That's where they'll lay for a little while. Then they wiggle loose and float down a little bit further, and then they get snagged over here and hang up over here a little while. God's people are going to go the other way, man. We're going to go upstream. We're going up and trying to do something for God, amen. Hey, rescue the perishing. Get something done, amen. Find the will of God. Hey, we don't go the same way the world goes, even if it's not easier. It's a position only a majority or a minority will take. Matthew 24:10. What's the first word there? Bible said, and then he's talking about the tribulation period here. Then shall many be offended, many, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. How many? Many of them. Many of them going to hate. Many of them going to be offended. Many of them going to go that way. Bible said in verse number 11, Bible said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. There's the majority. There's the many. They don't believe. They following false prophets, amen. They're betraying one another and hating one another. That's what many do. Why? Verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall what? There's the many. The Lord's side in any age is always a side of the minority. What are you going to do if everybody don't go? What are you going to do when you go back to school, kids, and the majority's doing what they done last year when you was at school? You going to be with the minority and stick with God? That's the Lord's side. Make a choice. Choose you this day whom you can serve. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to live what mom and daddy lives? Do what mom and daddy does? You got to make your own choice. Hey, when you go over to your friend's house and you got four or five or three or two or three of you there, and they're going that way, you going to go with them? Because just say there's three of you. You going to go with the other two? You going to look at what they look at on the websites? You going to play the music they play? Hey, you going to go with the minority? Are you going to be the majority, or are you going to be the minority and say, I ain't going that way? I'm on the Lord's side, amen. I'm making a choice in my life. You got to make a choice. You ain't got to go with the majority. You ain't got to go where everybody else goes. Many's going to go that way. Yeah, it ain't going to be good for them, though.
Amen.
Ain't going to be good. There was more that stood on the other side of Moses than that stood with him. 3,000 of them died that day. You know, God puts you at a point of choices in your life. You don't know what kind of decision, what's going to come out of the decision that you make. It could be instantaneous. The Lord's side. It's a position that only a minority will take in any way. Look in Luke 16. I don't know who wrote this stuff, but they done pretty good. I'd like to say the Lord give it to me. I might be preaching one of you preachers' messages. I don't know, amen, but it's good stuff. Y'all done a good job, amen. Luke chapter 16. Who's on the Lord's side? This be number 4, right? Luke 16. The Lord's side is a position that takes a negative stance toward socialism, communism, Catholicism, world peace, science, popularity, and worldly influences. The Lord's side. It takes a negative stance against these things. Negative stance. Well, what's science say? Science come, you come from a big bang. You come from a monkey. God takes a negative stance to that. God's side is a negative stance against science. Well, science come up with some good stuff to help. But you know what? Science will teach you today ain't a God. Worldly influence and worldly teaching will teach you that. You turn on the Geography Channel and the History Channel and the Discovery Channel, and they'll try to prove to you that there ain't a God. And if there was a guy named Jesus, he had affairs with women and act like everybody else, all the other hippies did. You know what God's side? It's a negative stance to that kind of garbage, amen. It's a negative stance against socialism, communism, and Catholicism, world peace, popularity. Oh, everybody believes it that way. Everybody likes it that way. I mean, God likes it that way. Amen. Your influence of this world. Luke 16, look in verse number 15. Luke 16, 15. Bible says, unto them ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Boy, that's pretty bad, ain't it? Look at verse 13. No man can serve two masters. Same thing he said over in Matthew. For either you will hate the one and love the other, as he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Didn't like what he said about that. Look at this. And he said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your heart, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Almost every time that the world says this is the way we need to go, you can mark it down. It's against God. If the majority's going that way, you'd be good to go that way.
Amen.
Negative stance, amen. Amen. God don't stand for it. God hates it. God despises it. God said it's an abomination in His sight. Well, anyway, I believe it. You know, you get back to science and you talk about what they teach and stuff. You know, we got some nurses in here, and I'm sure they've been educated through the school systems. Yeah. You know, they teach these nurses and these doctors that you can't tell whether it's really a man or a woman. You know, some of them are born that way. Some of them got the parts of a male, but they really a female kind of thing, you know. And it gets leading to that way of sodomy and, you know, not knowing what kind of bathroom you're going in and all the other ignorance of this world, because they can justify it with science and education. God said that's foolish.
Amen.
That goes completely against the Word of God. So, well, I've been under some great teachers, and they believe in a certain way. Well, I believe God love any teacher.
Amen.
Amen. They're wrong. God's right. And that's what they teach, and that kind of garbage, and that's what they try to filtrate into us. God takes a negative stance to that kind of mess. God is completely opposite of that garbage. God's not for it. You take the crowd today that, you know, in the world's eyes and medicine and science and technologies, and now they making it where marijuana is a medicine and it is good for you.
Yeah.
God takes a negative stance to that garbage.
Yeah.
What they're trying to do is justify dope smoking. Just like they legalized alcohol.
Yeah.
And then you got to put it at a certain age where you can drink it. But why are you going to limit it to a certain age? If it's bad for one, it's bad for the other.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Science, man, technology, we just evolve and we're learning new things, amen. Like one guy said, you know, everybody wants to say it's for medicine. He said, and most of all of them that say it's for medicine, they grow it and sell it and give it to everybody.
Yeah.
If it's for medicine, grow you one tree and smoke what you need and get healthy.
Yeah.
Why you got to grow 50 trees?
Yeah.
You know what it is. It's that God and man thing. It's serving two masters, amen. God takes a negative stance to that junk, and the world's going that way, and you're going to have to make a choice in it. You can go the world's way or not, but I'm going to be on the Lord's side.
Amen.
Care what they say and what they teach, amen. They're wrong. This book will always be right.
Amen.
If you have questionable gray areas in your life, get in the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God will show you what's right and it'll show you what's wrong.
Yeah.
It'll be clear.
Yeah.
It'll be clear. If I can't take the Bible and prove it to be right, then it's wicked as hell. And if you twist the Scriptures and try to do it, you too fall more out of the bed. Amen. Well, let's go to Isaiah 53. We're still backing up. I said I'd go in order. Just act like I never said any of that stuff. Isaiah 53. Who would have knew Isaiah was in the Old Testament? Amen. The Lord's side. Number five. The Lord's side. Just forget I said something about going in order tonight. Amen. I done blew that one up. Isaiah 53. Whose side are you on? The Lord's side, number five, is a despised and rejected. The world hates it. They despise it. They reject it. That's the Lord's side. When they came, our Lord coming in this world, you know what they did to him? They killed him. They despised him and rejected him. The Bible said he came into his own and his own received him not. His own people rejected him. His own people despised him, just as everybody else did in the world. Brother, talking about earlier tonight about the persecution of the Jewish people and everything they went through. You know, they are persecuted people. They are hated people. They're God's chosen people. And God's going to graft them back in just like he said. But you know, most of everything the Jewish people have suffered has been at the hands of their own disobedience. When you read that Old Testament, you know what God would punish them? You know why? Because they'd go their own way and go their own way. You know what they said when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ? They said, his blood be upon us and upon our children. And you know what's happening through history? The blood of Jesus Christ is on them. Them and their children are still suffering for it. That don't make them not God's people, and that does not make it God's not going to graft them back in, and you not to love them and be there and be on their side. You'd be a fool not to. And if God wants to judge them, that's God's business because they're his people. And let him do the judging on his people. You do the part of being on their side and praying for them like the Bible says. But you know what? We suffer a lot because of our own disobedience. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, he suffered for nothing. As far as nothing meaning of his doing. He didn't do anything to deserve anything the way he was treated. The Lord's side is the despised and rejected side. They'll despise you and reject you regardless of how you live. That's what they'll do to you. And you give people half a chance, they'll find a reason to try to justify the reason why they treat you that way. Well, you know why I act that way to them? Because of what they done to me. Well, I'll never make it right, will I? You know how carnal that sounds, by the way, when Christians make statements like that. Well, I'll do them, you know how they've done me. Well, that ain't Christianity. Jesus is the Lord, he shall repay. If somebody's done you wrong, you let the Lord take care of them. You make sure you take care of doing what you ought to do. Don't try to be judged, you're not judged. You know why? You know, I believe one of the reasons why the Lord says, let me do the vengeance, because I know how to correct them the right way, and you don't know how to do it. You don't know how to do it. Isaiah 53, the Lord's side is a despised and rejected side. Verse number 1, who have believed our report? Anybody believe the report of the Lord? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He have no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief, thank God, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord's side is the despised and rejected side. Jesus said, John 15, somewhere over there, he said, I think it's John 15, if they hated me, they'll hate you. You think the world's going to love on you? No, they ain't going to love on you. It's just as much as they hated him, they'll hate us. It's a despised and rejected sign. Well, number 6, 1 John chapter 2. I ain't even going to try to put these last two in order. I'm going to put them out of order on purpose. Who's on the Lord's side tonight?
Amen.
1 John chapter number 2. You know this verse of Scripture. You ought to know it very well. The Lord's side, number 6, is a position the world has never taken nor ever will take. The world will never take, never has, and never will take the side of the Lord. Never. You haven't found it through history, and you'll never find it. They'll never take the Lord's side. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. But is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The Lord's side is a position that the world never has, nor ever will take. Never will. If you think, well, I just hook up with the world and we're going to go with the Lord's way, and it'll never happen. Never happen. Never. We're not even to love the world. We're not even to pray for it. Jesus didn't pray for the world. Romans 3. Who's on the Lord's side? Well, if you're on the world's side, you're not on the Lord's side. He made that clear right there, didn't he? If you ain't got anything that you're opposite of, you're not on the Lord's side. It ain't gonna happen. If you're in the majority and not the minority, you're not on the Lord's side. Amen. If the world doesn't despise and reject you, you're not on the Lord's side. If you go for socialism and Catholicism and science and popularity and wanting everybody to love you, you ain't on the Lord's side. I made it clear earlier, I'm not talking about going to die and act like an idiot, trying to stir up trouble and stir up hatred and make people be against you. You just live for God, somebody's going to be against you. The Lord's side, number 7, Romans 3, verse 4. It is a side that leads its team into a head-on collision with every teaching of science, religion, philosophy, education, and history, where these teachings cross the revelation of God's book. That's the Lord's side. Anything that goes against this book is not the Lord's side. God's side will always line up with his word.
Amen.
And God's side will lead you in a head-on collision to everything that's against this book. You'll find yourself going button heads with anything that goes against God's word.
Amen.
God's word is our foundation. That's it.
Amen.
Why do you believe what you believe? Because God's word. Why do you do what you do? Because of God's word. Why do you look at it this way? Because of God's word. Hey, what about science? What about religion? What about philosophy? What about education? What about history? Anytime it goes against God's word, it is wrong. And God's side will lead you in a head-on collision to anything against his word. If you are not for God's word, you ain't on the Lord's side. I'm talking about God's word. Not some mixed up word where they're taking out scriptures and taking out words and perverting the truth of it. Amen. I'm not talking about some hidden Greek and Hebrew text that nobody's got. I'm talking about a book that God gave English speaking people, this King James Bible of 1611 that God has inspired and kept, that He promised according to the Psalms and Proverbs for us to have in the day we're living in. This is God's Word. This teaches who God is and God's ways. Romans 3 verse 14. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the God, make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. How are you going to let God be true? Romans 3. Did I say the wrong verse? Yeah.
You said
3. I said 3 what? 14. 3, 4. I'm in the right one. I've already told you the wrong one. But more than likely, most of you knew where I was at when I started reading. But if you didn't, I'm not throwing these stones at you, Dad. I mean, you just done what I told you to turn to. So, I mean, it's my fault. Romans 3. We'll start in verse 3. We'll read it all over. We'll let God be true and even the preacher a liar. If he says verse 14, he's lying. Went on a head-on collision straight against it, amen. Verse 3, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Well, I don't believe it that way. Okay, is that going to change what God said? Well, that ain't the way I look at it. That ain't the way I've been taught. That ain't even the way I was raised. Well, what's that got to do with God?
Right.
Somebody taught you wrong.
Yeah.
You were raised wrong.
Right.
And in some cases, from good, godly people.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to believe good, godly people over God's good, holy Word of God. Because they might be wrong. Well, they against God's Word, they are wrong.
Yeah.
Even if it's my grandpa or grandma, or yours, or your uncle, or that preacher you like, it, let God be true and every man a liar. It's not going to make the faith of God another faith because you believe it another way. You just going to be a liar. You just going to be wrong. Verse 4, God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. Every man's every one of them. No matter how good and godly and holy they are. Charles Stanley, the good old, I guess he's still a Baptist, I don't know. I don't know whether he is or not. But he don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, he's a liar. Well, preacher, he believes some of the doctors we believe. You know what he might do, but he's a liar on that book. He got that wrong, man. And most of you hang around long enough, you get that wrong, the other thing's going to be wrong. It's going to go south real quick when you go against God's Word. You throw down this book and start going your own way, you're going to be in a fix. You're going to be in a mess. Your music's going to change. Your life's going to change. It's going to be a mess. Every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. That's the Lord's side. Seven things of what the Lord's side will be like. Moses said, all right, boys, who's on the Lord's side? Come on this side. Come on. Some of them came, rest of them stood over there. Moses said, gird up your sword. Here's what God said about being on against his side. He said, go kill him. He said, preacher, that's pretty stern. Well, that's the way the Lord feels about his side and the other side. If it wasn't the mercy of God, all of them would have died.
Amen.
Stopped at 3,000. That sufficed him for that sacrifice. That's what he did. Joshua, in his last command, stood up there. He said, boys, I'm about to die, about to leave this whole world. I'm about to, my life's done. Joshua 24. Stood up before the people and he says, hey, choose you this day whom you'll serve. So, boys, go ahead and make up your mind. I'm getting ready to leave. I've already made up my mind. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I've been serving Him ever since God told me about Him. I've been living for Him. I'm getting ready to leave. Make your choice, and when I'm dead and gone, thank God you'll still be serving Him.
Amen.
They said, that's what we'll do, Joshua. That's what we'll do. And the elders died off. There rose up a generation in judges that knew not the Lord. They didn't do it. They said it with their mouth, but they didn't do it. Saying it with your mouth don't mean you're going to do it. You better get it in your heart.
Yeah.
And Elijah went up on that with the prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel, and he said, "All right, boys, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him."
Amen.
And they said, they answered him not a word. Then the Lord said, hey, no man can serve two masters.
Amen.
You ain't going to do it. You better make a choice who you're going to serve. It's going to tell on you. It's going to show. If you on God's side, it'll show. And if you not, it'll show.
Amen.
Who's on the Lord's side? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Give you a little bit of time to talk to the Lord tonight.
Yes.
You need to slip out of your seat and bow right there, be fine. You better make a choice. You better get on the right side. I'll tell you this, anything but God's side is a losing side. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. You're going to lose.